Tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to end up in Jeremiah chapter number 9, if you want to find your spots in both those places. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we were at this morning, and we are just going to highlight a couple things real quick and then head back to Jeremiah chapter number 9. It's kind of interesting Bible study on a two-word phrase, and the words are God forbid. And the Bible says that a number of times uses those two words, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. Sometimes it's used by people. The nation of Israel told Joshua, after Joshua told him, choose you this day, and he was preaching his last sermon saying goodbye to the people, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And what happens? That's exactly what they did. First Samuel looked at the people and said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease in praying for you. And over and over, there's different times, it's kind of an emphasis. We should never let that happen. Romans says it a number of times. Some of the things that are really powerful in Romans, it says, Romans chapter 3, says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. It gets because somebody else doesn't mean that it's going to change our faith. Romans 6:2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There are so many different interesting things. And you say, well, that's not found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I agree with you, but the preaching of the cross that we talked about this morning, it is found in Galatians chapter 6. It says, for neither they themselves who are of circumcision keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And they're saying, what in the world should we glory in? And that's where our theme verse for the year, we're going to look at that a little bit in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. There is something we're supposed to glory in. There is something we're supposed to brag about. There is something that we're supposed to lift up, and that's Jesus. Like we talked about this morning, we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 6:15 puts it this way, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? The answer is no, of course not. God forbid. Over and over, those are just passages that are reasonable, and they say, that's just dumb. God forbid we would do something like that. And it comes to that spot and said, hey, they want you to follow their religious system and their religious laws so they can glory in your flesh. I said, God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes that's where we start glorying in our wisdom, we start glorying in our strength, we start glorying in maybe some of the possessions we have, and we forget it's not about us, it's not about how good we can make our flesh look. We shouldn't be looking to get people to look like us and act like us so we can glory in the fact we got a whole bunch of people that do the things we do. God forbid, what we should be doing is we should be glorying in the cross of Christ. And go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. We looked at verse 23 this morning. It was our text verse. But we preach Christ. The word but means that we should preach things that are different than the world. The word we saying it's a message for everyone. Preach means to herald, to make known Christ. And we talked about the beauty of Christ and talked about all the different things about Christ. And then him crucified. And we looked at the cross for a little while. We talked about it being a vicarious death and a vicious death, but also a victorious death. And then it says, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, that there's people who are going to reject it. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So there's the point is, hey, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, but he is also the glory of God. Look what it says in verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If there is something we're going to brag about, it's got to be God. It says in verse 29, the reason why all these things happen, the reason why God takes the wisdom of man and just puts it to shame and takes the power of man and laughs at it and the riches and wealth of man is because there will be no flesh that will glory in his presence. There is not one person, one creature that will ever get to go to heaven and say, I got here because of what I did in my own flesh. No one. Everyone will be only able to say, I only got here because of what he did for me, pointing at Jesus. And the amazing thing is, he says, if we're going to glory in something, let us glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that thought and that introduction, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9, we see, is written to a group of people, the nation of Israel. They're getting ready to be taken into bondage here. Jeremiah is called to be the preacher of the day, and he preaches. Not only does he preach, he weeps while he preaches. He has a burden for it. He's not some hard-nosed guy that doesn't feel it. He weeps so much that when they saw Jesus weeping, they said, oh, that must be like Jeremiah, or that must be Jeremias, because of the fact that he was such a weeping prophet, and Christ had the same compassion. Now remember, these verses can stand alone. These verses are something that we can talk about ourselves, but it's written to a nation because this nation is putting its pride and its glory in the fact that they are God's chosen people. And as God's chosen people, they have not put their glory in God. They're saying, hey, look at my wealth. Hey, look at my strength. Hey, look at our wisdom. Guess what? That's going to save us. Jeremiah says, you need to repent. You need to do what's right. You need to get right with God. You're going to head into bondage, blah, blah, blah. He preaches his heart out. He talks about so many awesome things. We go earlier in this chapter at the beginning in verse number, of course, my page doesn't want to turn. You go up to verse number 4. It says, take heed every one of his neighbor and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, saying that you can't trust anybody, and they will deceive everyone. His neighbor will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Their habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, save the Lord. And it goes back to that beginning thing that we've been learning about in some of the Sunday school classes or Wednesday night class, you know, when they refuse to keep the knowledge of God, when they refuse to put God in their knowledge. And learned in Romans chapter number 1, at least some of us had, about how God has put something in us that realizes there is a God and that there is someone going to be accountable for it. And all creation speaks of that. And they refuse to take God in their knowledge. Instead of refusing to take God in knowledge, they got to replace it with something. Many times they make up this lie about evolution. And with that lie of evolution, it gets to the point, hey, I don't have to answer to God anymore. I can take God out of my knowledge, and I can make up something that sounds so crazy, so crazy. I mean, have we ever seen something collide and there a big bang and something come out of it? Usually when something goes bang, nothing comes together. It falls apart. It's destroyed. But they're saying that because of this big bang and this big explosion that that the human body has developed and formed. And it's amazing when you think about how amazing the earth is and how amazing the human body is and how creation itself speaks of the glory of God. All those different things. These people had gotten to the same spot. They believed a lie. They, even though God had sent prophet after prophet, they had such an awesome tradition. You think about it, all the way back from Abraham, all the way through Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, to them giving the promised land where they are currently living in, and they're like, nope, don't want to have the Lord in my knowledge. I don't want to have anything. And Jeremiah, the preacher, comes up and starts preaching. He starts preaching away. He starts preaching what the Lord tells him to do. He says, you're in trouble. There's problems that are happening. And if you look at verse number 25 and 26, it says, behold, the Lord comes, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Physically, they were meeting God's law, but in the heart, they were so far away from him. And Jeremiah says, got to stop trusting in the wrong things. You got to stop glorifying in the wrong things. He's preaching about danger. He's preaching about judgment to come. And they're all still fixated on their wealth, their wisdom, and their might. So you look what it says in Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory, Now that word glory, and for tonight we're going to look at it, it's mainly talking about bragging about. That they find their confidence and strength in is something that they set up and they think it's something that they praise. They are bragging about it. So what are you bragging about in your life? And he says, the Jeremiah is saying to him, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth. If you're going to praise anything, if you're going to brag about anything, glory in this. And it says, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He says, take your eyes off all those other things that you're bragging about and that you're depending on, that you're trusting on. They're not going to save you. You should glory in the fact that you know who God is and that you understand who God is. But they chose, as we saw in the verse earlier, they did not want to have the Lord in their knowledge. They did not want to put God into their life. And they said, we're not going to get hurt. No one's going to bother us. We're too wise for that. We're too smart for that. We're too rich for that. We're too powerful for that. So here's a couple things. The first thing is the folly or the foolishness of glorying in wisdom. The foolishness in glorying in wisdom. And you can look at different things that people have done throughout the Bible. I think about Ahithophel and how he was trying to help Absalom, and he took that wisdom and turned it to foolishness. The verse that we looked at this morning in 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And what the Bible is saying is, how in the world are you going to glory in your own wisdom but not glory in the Lord who gave you that wisdom? How in the world are we ever going to get to the point and moment that we think we know better than God? He can take the wisdom of man and just push it aside. He can make the wisest look the dumbest. Why is that? Because he's God, and he is the wisest. You cannot trust in your own wisdom, because your own wisdom can be deceitful, because it comes from your heart. It comes from what you observe, and the wisdom of God is so much greater. I'd rather take a person that is not educated. I was going to say not uneducated. That shows you my education. Not educated and not maybe book smart and book learned. Maybe even someone doesn't even know how to read. But they love the Lord and they fear God. They're going to be wiser than man who has all these degrees. Why is that? Because the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And you say, that sounds foolish. Go back to 1 Corinthians. We looked at that this morning. It's the foolishness that God chooses to use. But God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They couldn't understand what was going on. They couldn't understand the cross this morning. We looked at those Greeks. They were looking for wisdom. They were looking for the wisdom of man and saying, I just don't understand why God would become man to be persecuted and to be punished and to be hung on a tree to save the sins of his creatures. That does not make sense to them. It's the wisdom of God. We must capture and say, I'm not trusting in my own logic. I'm not trusting in my own mind. I'm trusting in this. And we've been talking a little bit about abortion in our Sunday school class and talked about how people have different worldviews. And it's scary the way some people look at things. And it's scary about some of the disgusting things that come out of people's mind. But what they've done is they've taken God out of their knowledge. And once they take God out of their knowledge, they've been given over to a reprobate mind. And they begin thinking so many things that are wrong that one of the ladies we read about today, she says, I know it's a baby in me. She says, my life is more important than that baby's life. I can't imagine someone saying that. I know if my sons, if there was a choice between me going or my sons going, I'm choosing me. I said, hey, let them stay. That's how much I love them. Can you imagine someone saying, I know it's a baby inside the womb, but I don't care. My life is more valuable. The convenience of my life is more valuable than that baby. That's where some people's minds, that's the wisdom of man. They have reasoned that out to the point where it's come. That doesn't make any sense. Why is that? Because a long time ago, they said, we're taking God out of the equation. We're devaluing life, and we're saying it has just evolved, and there's no God we have to be accountable for, and that has trended down and trended down and trended down to now they worship at the altars of abortion, and they don't care if they're harming the moms or the babies as long as they continue to be able to practice what they think is right. That's what happens with the world's wisdom. Do not glory in your wisdom. Do not think that you're smarter than God. Do not think you can grab a hold of something and that you can make it through, that you go right underneath the corner, that you can reap things and not sow that. And that's so many times people think, I hear the Bible, I see the Bible, that stuff will never happen to me. Glory not in wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. I don't care how many degrees you have. I have a degree, and some people think I'm smart. I don't think I am. But, don't glory in that. Next thing is, don't glory, and it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Israel had fallen into the same trap. Hey, you know what? We're too smart. We're not going to get taken over by Babylon. We're too strong. There's no way anyone's going to come in here and take us on. Now, you think about it. Over and over in the Bible, it shows that the strength of man is nothing compared to the strength of God. In 1 Corinthians, once again, that same verse, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. It reminds me of a couple of those great Old Testament stories. You think about David there, that little shepherd boy. And we don't know how old he is. We don't know how big he was. He wasn't probably very big against the big giant Goliath. He got man's power over there and got God's power. And who won? David did. And you think about Gideon. You know, there was all those thousands of guys there, and God says, hey, you got too many guys to go fight against 150,000. They narrowed it down, and they narrowed it down to where there was 300. And the world's eyes and the world's wisdom, oh, they have no chance. But with God's power, you can do something special. And you might say, hey, Pastor, we can't fight this battle, that the power is too strong. And sometimes even with our sin and our sin nature and sin life, the pull of that sin feels so strong. But with the power of God, you can have victory. Don't glory in your own strength. Don't glory in your own might. I don't care how much you can lift. I don't care how much you can bench press or what you can pick up and what you carry. He says, that's not what you should be counting on. That's not what you should be bragging about. That's not what you should be praising. You shouldn't be praising how smart you are, because God could take that mind away from you just like that if he wanted to. You shouldn't be caring about how much strength you are, because God can take that strength away from you just like that. God's power is so much more. There is foolishness of glorying in riches. And that's what the next part is. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, the rich man in the story of Lazarus couldn't even buy a drop of water. How does somebody think they're going to get out of hell? If they have all this money. I'm going to be good. I have all this money. I have all this wealth. I have all these things. Don't glory in the fact that you have a bank account that has money in it. Don't glory in the fact that you have possessions. Those are all things that can be taken away just like that. He says, don't praise that. Don't brag about that. He says, if you're going to glory in anything, but let him that glory, if glory in this, what is that? That you know who God is. That is more power than your wisdom. That is more power than your strength. That is more power than your riches. It's more valuable than any of those things is your relationship with God, that you know and understand him. And I know we like to think about, hey, if I'm super good at a sport, or if I'm super good at a hobby, or if I'm super good at smart about certain things. And once again, God gives us all those talents, and we should use them for his glory. But that's not something we praise about. That's not something we brag about. We lift him up and say, it's him. I know God. And because I know him, I love him, and because I want to know him better. Now, it's interesting here. He says, well, let him that glory of glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. They knew about God. They said, I don't want him. Do you know God tonight? Now, I'm not talking about a book knowledge, because there's a lot of people out there. Some of the atheists know a lot about God. They just choose not to believe. There's people that could quote verses and chapters and books of the Bible that later on got saved. They didn't know him personally. Do you know him tonight personally? It's more than just knowing the facts about the Bible. It's more than just believing that there is a God. It's coming to the spot and realizing that I'm a sinner, and my sin has separated me from God, and that sin must be dealt with. And that sin was dealt with on the cross when Jesus Christ died for my sin. And I'm convicted of that sin, and I turn to God, and I put my faith and trust in him, and I ask him to save me from my sins. And that's what it means to know him personally. I used this illustration before, but I think it bears repeating. I know some people. I know the Martins. I spent some time with the Martins, Jim and Rhonda, and they're nice people. But I know my wife a lot better. Why is that? I've known her a lot longer. I live with her. I know her. I think I know her better than she knows herself, but that's probably not true. But there's the idea that I, and at least I think I do, and I get that in trouble because I think I know what she's saying. I think I know what she wants. Boy, I don't know what anybody wants. but it's how well do you know him? I could tell you a bunch of stats about Michael Jordan. Never met him, never done a thing for me except for maybe entertain me a little bit in basketball. He's from North Carolina University, too. I mean, that's just bad. So I don't know him personally, but I can tell you about him. I know Martin's a little bit because I've known him for a few months now, but I know my wife a lot better. And there are a lot of people out there that can tell you facts about God, and they truly don't know him. And then there's some out there who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they're not growing in their faith like they should, and they know him a little bit, and it's the newborn babes, the desire to sincere milk, and they want to know him. But then there's those that just want to know him better and want to know him better. I think, like even with my wife, I want to know her better, and I want to learn her, and I want to be able to be a better husband because of that. I want to be able to minister to her needs, and I pray that she has the same desires as me because we change as times go along. We have different likes and different dislikes. There's different stages of life and different things we might enjoy. And you should always be learning your mate and trying to be a blessing and an encouragement to them. But the illustration is, hey, there's people who know about God, but that don't know him personally. Do you know him? And then you get that next spot. Yeah, I know him. I'm on my way to heaven. How well do you know him? Because the amazing thing is, as we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. The amazing thing is, we are as close to God today as we want to be. So, oh no, I want to be closer. No, we choose that. I mean, some people in our relationships, there's some people who I try to get close with. Nope, no time for you. Have some friends I grew up with that I would love to spend more time with. Try texting, and sometimes they respond, but their lives are busy. They're in the ministry, and okay, nope, don't want to get to know you any better. But there is a God up in heaven that has written his word to us, that has given us his spirit, give us an avenue of prayer. He's not only given us his cell phone number, he's given us complete access to him 24 hours a day. He tells us to come, not just to come, but to come boldly, and that we can pray, and he teaches us to pray. He commands us to pray without ceasing so we can know him better and so we can begin to understand. And that's what I loved about Psalms 119. Over and over it says, Lord, give me understanding so I can teach others. It's not just knowing the laws, and it's not just knowing the guidelines. It's not just knowing his word. Make it personal. Make it something that's to me so I can teach that to somebody else. But we have problems because people are glorying in their wisdom, and they're glorying in their strength, and they're glorying in their riches, and they're glorying in their family, and they're glorying in their ministry, or they're glorying on their standards, and they're glorying in the sport, and they're glorying in this talent, and they're glorying in this whatever else, a long list of things that people praise and people hold on to and think, nothing's going to bother me, nothing's going to hurt me because I have this. And Jeremiah is saying, don't trust in this. Don't trust in your riches. Don't trust in your might. Don't trust in your wisdom. Glory in this one fact. You know who God is. Now begin to live for him. Because our nation, obviously they don't care about God. They don't think anybody's ever going to hurt us or harm us because we're so mighty and we're so strong. Oh, how wrong they are going to be. And yeah, they think that we have so much riches and their strength and the stock market and realty because it's skyrocketing. Oh, so one day they're gonna be sad because they gloried in something else besides the Lord. They're gonna say we're too smart. They're gonna believe in things such as abortion being not only right but should be celebrated. Not only that, believe in transgenderism is okay. They're gonna appoint someone to the Supreme Court that doesn't know if she's a boy or a girl. I mean, they're going to do all those things. That's man's wisdom. And he says, where's that wisdom going to take us? Stop glorying in the fact that we have all these colleges and all these professors. Get back to the fact that you glory that there's a God who helped us become a nation. And that's what we need to glory in and not glory in those other things. He said, of course that's true about our nation. Of course. And that's who he's talking to, but let's make it personal. What do we glory in? What are we listening towards? are we glorying in our might? Are we glorying in our wisdom? So now I'm not super strong. I'm not super wise. Are we glorying in our riches? I'm definitely not super rich. What is it then that you have let become that thing in your life that you praise more than anything else? Because Jeremiah is just using those three examples as the things that the nation of Israel is holding on to and not glorying in the fact that you know who God is. And it's not, and like he said, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. What are we glorying in today? If you know God, you have something to praise. You have something to shout about. You know, there's even a website that says, Shout Your Abortion. Talking about, you can go to social media and you can write your claim about when you had an abortion and how proud you were of it. You know, if the world can shout that, can't we shout about the cross of Jesus Christ? But we preach Christ crucified. And it's amazing. It's amazing the fact that many things that we'll brag about, many things we'll be excited about, many things we'll talk about. But him is not one of those. You say, Pastor, who talks like that? You should glory. Glory. And he says it here. If you're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know that he understandeth and knoweth me. And then it continues on, and he says that I am the Lord. You know, what are we supposed to know? That he's God, he's the Lord, he's the one in control, and then which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. He exercises these things. These are things he is always going to do what's right. He is always going to do what's right for us. He's a righteous God. He is also a God of judgment. He is a God of loving kindness. And we're not going to take time to look at all those different things. Maybe sometime this year we will. But that's what we need to get to. I need to know God. I need to understand the will of God so I can live for him. And one of those things is glorying in him. So often we put everything else aside for the Lord. So often we'll make time for everything else that's important to us, but never try to get to know him better. And the great Apostle Paul was talking about that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. His great desire was that I may know him, that I may know him better. John 17:3 put this way, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And understanding God, that it's in his word, delighting in his word. Proverbs 2 puts it this way, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou keepest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, saying, if you'll study the Bible like it's a hid treasure, seeking to learn from it, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He said, I don't understand God sometimes. It's in the book. And there are sometimes things that we're going to say, I'm going to figure that out when I get to heaven. I don't know why God did this. And I know some people say, well, I'm going to ask God a question or two when I get to heaven. I don't know. I think I'm going to be flat on my face just worshiping and praising him and realizing he's God and he can do whatever he chooses to do. So tonight, God forbid that we would glory in something like wisdom and riches and knowledge and strength. God forbid that we would think that that is what I can trust in. When Jesus died on that cross for us. I don't know what it is that has gotten you off this path or been out of shape a little bit, or what it is that you're glorying in. And sometimes people glory in their hardship. Yeah, they want to be a victim and they want to be, hey, this is what, and we want to glory in the problem that happened. I knock on doors sometimes and I talk to people who says, yeah, I used to go to church and I stopped, and they tell me this long story and they gloried in the fact that something bad happened to them. They have never been to church ever since again. I says, you know, do you think God wants you to go to church? Yeah, I do, but this happened to me, and that's what they praise and that's what they lift up. They don't lift up God. And it's like, really? He's done all this for us. God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of Christ. So tonight, what do you delight in? The Lord says he delights in the loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. He says, in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He says, these are the things that we should be delighting in, the fact that we know God and we understand God and the type of God he is. That's the thing that is going to bring satisfaction. That's what's going to bring you happiness. Israel was struggling. They were over here and saying, oh, we can live the way we want. We don't have to have God in our knowledge. We can praise the preacher, but hearts far from God and his word. We can be this hypocrite. No one's going to ever hurt us. No one's ever going to bother us. No one's going to ever touch us because look how strong we are. Look how smart we are. Look how much riches we have. And that's what America's saying. Hey, no, we can stick our nose up to God. And look, we have all this money. Well, we don't really have that much money. Somebody else, we owe a lot of people money. We have this much money. Look at all the power we have. Look at our great military. Look at our strength. Look how smart we are. We're one of the brightest people in the world. We have developed this great technology before anybody else has. God says, when you glory in that, you're headed to destruction. But if you want to glory in something, glory in this, that you know and understand that I am the Lord. Understand that God is the one that we should glory in. Because no one is going to get into God's presence and glory in the flesh. It just isn't going to happen. How well do you know him tonight? Do you know him as your personal Savior tonight? You're not going to get in any other way. We talked about that last Sunday morning. The only way you go in is through Jesus Christ and through the blood that he shed. There is no other way. How well do you want to know him more? As I mentioned last week, I want to know him better than I knew him last week. I met with him some this week. I know him better this week. You know what? I want to love him better than I did last week. And when I met with him, I spent time with him, I loved him even more. And so this week, I want to know him better. I want to love him more. These things are going to have to happen for that to happen. I'm going to have to set aside those other things I've been glorying in, those other things that have been occupying my time, those things I trust in, my wisdom, my strength, my riches. I'm going to have to say, look, that's not where I'm glorying. That's not what I'm focusing. I know the God of the universe, and I want to understand him better, and I want him to speak to my heart, and I want to meet with him so I can love him better and I can understand him better because I know he's God. And just as the Apostle Paul, that I may know him, that he wants to know him better. What a holy aspiration. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's an opportunity tonight. You can put your faith and trust in him. And if you do know him, how well do you know him? I have some friends that I've known 40 years. And I don't know them as well as I know some of you that I've only known for almost 20 years. Why is that? I spend more time with you. I haven't seen some of them for a long time. I recognize them. At a funeral, maybe back home, I'll see them. I'll talk to them for a second or two. I don't know them at all. Don't know their kids' names. Don't know their birth dates. Don't really care. I mean, they're not involved in my life per se anymore. I know you guys better. And I know that it's your birthday because it's found in the bulletin. And that's great because if it wasn't in there, I'd probably forget my own birthday. But those, you know, we know each other better because we spend time with one another. How well do you know God? You're as close to God today as you want to be. You say, I want to be close to him. All you got to do is spend some time with him. Just got to be close with him. Allow him to change you so you can know him better. What are you glorying in? God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of Christ. God forbid that we should glory in our riches, our wisdom, our strength. That we should glory in this, that I know and understand that I am the Lord. That's something you have that's special. That's something's worth sharing. That's something we've been told to share also. Let's pray.